Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Issues that matter to you. Expanded on the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour.
And we are going in-depth on the new liquor laws this morning. We want your thoughts and questions. Use the open mic button on the KRMG app, and we'll get the answers we can on this special KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour. And we are joined in the studio by the spokesman for Quick Trip, Mike Thornbrew.
Good morning, all.
Good morning, Mike. First time we've had a chance to meet face-to-face.
Yes,
welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. You were at that store with Preston Jones there, 51st and 129th East Avenue this morning when the liquor sales began, the strong beer and wine sales, more correctly, began at 1 minute past midnight. Not just at that store, but across the chain in Oklahoma. How did the morning go?
Really pretty well. I mean, I got to a quick story. I really wanted to be the first customer to buy a beer, but we had, you know, a lady who wanted to be first before me. I'm not going to say no to the customer.
Well, sure.
But it was a lot of fun, and I was really surprised at the various reasons that people showed up just past midnight to buy beer. It was a fun experience.
Rick Corey is with me. He went into one of your stores on his way in this morning and kind of found a different scene.
Yeah, over at 31st and 169, yeah. They still had everything wrapped and kind of back behind. So was it just some guys you had out at midnight and you're waiting for everybody else at 6?
Yeah, what we did is we knew we have 78 stores, and it would just, to us, it would be impossible to get every single store up and running. So we try to do it in quadrants, knowing that we're going to be filling them in. So throughout the course of the day, I mean, all stores will be fully shelf full of beer and have the wine out. But you're right, we just physically couldn't do it all.
Talk to us about the challenges that a large chain like Quick Trip faced. And, of course, we know of the past 2 weeks, the 3-2 beer has slowly disappeared. And you've had some customers that have probably come in and not been able to get what they were looking for. So that's one thing. But what other challenges have you faced?
Well, first of all, this is new for us. We've never had to have a changeover like this. So we really, this is a first-time experience.
Because the other states, you started out, your stores open up, and you're selling it, right?
Yeah, we're in 11 states, and 9 out of 11, we already have sold strong beer and wine. In fact, in 5 of them, we sell spirits. So we knew there would be a lag time. We knew that the beer manufacturers were going to quit shipping beer into Oklahoma. We knew that the distributors were going to run out. We didn't think they were going to run out as quickly as they did. So really, it was a learning experience for us.
So the learning experience, the shelf space, you've had to rearrange some things, right?
Yeah. We have about 25 to 30 different SKUs, if you will, of beers that we've never had the opportunity to sell. And it takes time to get them in the right place, make sure we have the right order. And this is going to go on for a while. We're not going to get it down to perfection today. It'll be a couple of weeks until we get down and get a pattern out.
One of the things I'm most excited about is being able to walk into a quick trip and buy an Oklahoma beer, Marshall or a Coop or something like that. I saw Eric Marshall was with you this morning after midnight.
Yeah, he and his brother Adam. I really give the Marshall brothers a lot of credit on modernization. They brought a concept to Oklahoma that was foreign to everybody. And I think it really changed the attitudes of a lot of Oklahomans that this is a good business. It's a thriving business. And we should have the opportunity to buy these beers anywhere we want. So I give them, and I give Elliot Nelson a lot of credit for changing the modernization in Oklahoma. Great concept, great entrepreneurs.
Elliot Nelson, the owner of the Nelson Group restaurants downtown.
Yeah.
That's interesting that local entrepreneurs, you think, help drive this.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. But right now we have, to my knowledge, about 3 local brewers in Tulsa that we're going to store and sell their beers, Cabin Boys, Prairie, and, of course, the Marshall Brothers, and then Anthem out of Oklahoma City and Coop out of Oklahoma City.
And by the way, Anthem makes a breakfast beer. I just throw it out there.
I haven't had that breakfast pizza?
That's a great idea.
There you go.
How do you make that choice, though, Mike? There's so many things out there you could carry.
That's the problem. We're limited in what we can do. We really want to do the local flavor the best that we can and in the statewide flavor. And we'll learn as the process goes forward on which beers are going to sell. and which ones are not. And as they come into different varieties, you're going to see us change our set quite a bit.
Now, everybody who works for a Quick Trip now has to have an ABLE license to sell beer and wine, right?
Yeah, they do.
How did you guys take care of that? Did the employees have to pay for their own training and licenses, or did the company take care of that?
No, Quick Trip took care of that. We knew there was going to be a backup at ABLE quite a bit, so we really started working on this back in February and March to make sure we had the store licenses and getting all the employee information. And ABLE, they've really been pretty good to work with. So we had all ours done probably about 60 days ago.
Wow.
Very expensive proposition, I may add, though.
Can I ask you how much?
Well, I sure can. We have about 1,000 employees in the over 1,000 employees in the stores in Oklahoma, and it's $30 every 2 years. So it's expensive.
It's just one of the major changes that business owners and their employees have had to make. Here's KRMG's Russell Mills.
So for starters, anyone who handles beer, wine, or liquor on the retail end will now need to have a license. Stephen Barker is general counsel and deputy director for ABLE, the Alcohol Beverage Laws Enforcement Commission.
One thing that's entirely new for your retail, grocery, and convenience store operations that haven't been licensed by us is their employees that engage in the sale of alcohol also have to have an individual license with us. These types of retail outlets have a lot of employees that will be required to have a license.
An estimated 40 to 50,000 of them. Now, interestingly, the way things stand at the moment, they'll get the license, then the training.
You'll apply. It's a very simple one-page application. We essentially have to verify you're of age, you're a citizen, and you're not a particular type of felon. And off we go to the races, we get you licensed. That kicks off a statutory requirement on the licensee employee's end to obtain training from an approved trainer within 14 days.
And unlike, for example, a food handler's card, there's no test.
The state does not have at this time a testing requirement for those training programs. Some programs do a test at the end, but that's not a requirement. Some don't.
As for the business liquor licenses, it's fairly straightforward. There are two types, on-premise for bars and restaurants and off-premise for retail stores, including packaged liquor outlets and now grocery and convenience stores.
The on-premise accounts that already have a license with the ABLE Commission to sell alcohol, but also had a Low Point beer license, they don't need to do anything different. They are already fully licensed by us to sell beer, so nothing changes for them. They simply don't need to renew their Low Point beer license as that goes away.
They can get a license for beer and wine only, or one that allows them to sell spirits and distilled liquors as well as beer and wine. As for those retail outlets,
the off-premise places like convenience stores and grocery stores, they have never needed a license from us. They've never been allowed to have a license from the ABLE Commission. So those are the types of business entities that have been coming in for the past 12 months and getting that new license.
And if they had a beer license from the Oklahoma Tax Commission, well, they can toss that in the trash. No refunds, sorry. The new licenses are a bit pricier. That and an extra $500,000 in funding for ABLE from the legislature will pay for the extra administrative burden and staff ABLE needs to carry all this off. For the KRMG In-Depth Hour, I'm Russell Mills, News 102.3 KRMG.
Russell, thanks. Dan Potter with Rick Corey, and we're joined in the studio by Mike Thornbrew, the spokesman for Quick Trip. So you were telling me as Russell's piece was playing, and we mentioned that, and Russell did too in his story, that the retail workers who sell this now have to be licensed by ABLE,
right.
And that means training. You guys are your own trainers.
Yeah, there's a provision in law where you could get what's called a certified trainer's license. And obviously, there are certain things that you had to include. And we pretty much have been doing that forever anyway. So we submitted it to them a couple months ago for approval.
All right, we got an open mic on that topic.
Uh-oh. Does that mean the added expense of licensing is going to be passed on to the consumer?
No, not at all. You're going to find us extremely competitive, as always, on everything that we do. What you will see is the cost will be a little bit higher because the tax is higher on strong beer than it is on the 3-2.
You are taking suggestions maybe about the things you should sell?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Rick's already given me a couple already.
I just wondered. I mean, people, I said the same thing to Jeff. You know, 1,000 people come up, I like this, you should carry this. How do you do that? And how do you make the choices? And can you carry stuff from anywhere, Mike?
First of all, it has to be approved. by the distributors. But, I mean, really, let me step back on you. That's really how we got active in changing the law. It was driven by employees and it was driven by customers. They really wanted the change. So I'm confident that we're going to be changing our sets based upon people's opinions and preference. But it's got to sell. And if it sells, you know we're going to put it in there.
Yeah. There are restrictions in how much you can sell, and for liquor stores, how much non-alcoholic stuff they can sell. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to talk to a small business owner about the impact this new law is having on his business coming up on this KRMG 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour.
We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now, back to the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
The main thing it's going to affect us from is a quality of life. From a quality of life standpoint, people now have access to the types of things that they would have access to in other cities. But from a financial standpoint, we don't think it's going to have much of any impact from a sales tax standpoint or otherwise. We don't think people are going to start buying more beer all of a sudden.
Mayor G.T. Bynum on the possible impact of the new liquor laws on the city of Tulsa.
I did follow up with him, too, about are you worried about some businesses going out of business? Because you talked about those small businesses, yeah. And he said, you know, capitalism is what it is. And, you know, he said, I tend to kind of lean toward that.
Free market.
Yeah, if they want a free market, they'll compete.
Well, we have spent a lot of time already this morning focused on what it was like at midnight at Quick Trip and other convenience stores that were open at midnight and did choose to sell because they can up until 2 in the morning. Only they can sell 7 days a week. The only hours prohibited, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. So we've done that. But here let's take a look at the new law from the perspective of one of Oklahoma's 700 small business owners operating a liquor store. One of the smallest is in Tulsa. It's the Grand Vin Bottle Shop in Utica Square, a place that has had to make some major expensive changes in anticipation of the new law. I stopped by the store last week and chatted with their owner. The Grand Vin Bottle Shop will open for business under the new law at 10 this morning.
It's 3620. Do you want me to bag this up for you?
My name is Chad Ackland, and I am a passive owner at the Grand Vin Bottle Shop, which is where we're located now.
What's going to happen when you open up the doors on Monday?
For us, the biggest difference is the first customer that walks in the door will have an opportunity to purchase cold beer on the spot. We will have an opportunity, as we have been deemed appropriate, to sell up to 20% of our gross sales in non-alcoholic merchandise. We'll still reach out to our customer base and find out what they would like to see in the store week in, week out.
Do you mind if we walk around your store while we do this? Because it's a pretty short walk, isn't it, Chad?
It is here at the Bottle Shop. We're 700 square feet of retail space. And so I tried to populate the store. I started about a year ago removing products that I deemed that would be in Walmart's convenience stores and Reese's, and trying to separate myself as more of a boutique wine store.
Now, was that a change you made to your business model in anticipation of this law coming into effect, or just because it was good business practice for this size shop?
Both.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how this is going to affect the state. I mean, you know, you look at Texas model and half the liquor stores closed inside of 18 months. I just got back from Branson, and there's one liquor store that facilitates maybe a 30 square mile range. Walmart's convenience stores, everything else has the full spectrum of wine, beer, and spirits. And so ultimately that's the fear that the liquor industry has, is that, you know, we're one vote away from Walmart being able to carry everything. And then there's a huge impact to the liquor store.
Full disclosure, I shop here. And, and one of the first changes that I noticed when I came in a couple of weeks ago is of that less than 800 square feet you have, a significant amount of that is now taken up by three rather large coolers. That had to be
Well, you tell me, what was it like planning and getting those things in here?
Since we are so small, aisle space is at a premium. And so in order to facilitate coolers that are 29.8 inches deep, I wanted to make sure I could maintain my aisle space. So that did involve kind of an extensive remodel to facilitate and maintain that aisle space integrity.
Do you feel like this is true competition, true free market competition, or has the door been opened for your business to be swallowed up?
Well, that remains to be seen. The hope is for the industry, not for us, that the state will recognize the 700 liquor stores that have populated the state since Prohibition will maintain their footprint in Tulsa market, Oklahoma City market, and the smaller markets outside of the metropolitans. And so, but those are the ones that, my opinion, are at most risk.
If you have a liquor store in Chandler, for instance, you're at more risk maybe than here in Utica Square.
If Chandler has three liquor stores, a year from now, there's probably going to be one.
What are you going to carry that isn't liquor come Monday morning? You going to have some limes in here, some corkscrews?
I'm taking suggestions. you know, we are looking, moving forward. The certain corkscrews, cork stoppers, wine pours, we'll have some novelty items like that. But, you know, the customer base here at Utica Square is pretty special, and they're pretty educated, and I certainly don't want to turn the integrity of this store into a convenience store.
This is not a bodega.
No, sir, absolutely not. So we will listen to them. I have thought there are certain there are several coffee vendors that are here in the state. I know we've got a Starbucks here in the square, but for our customers who would like to maybe purchase something other than Starbucks, we might be able to facilitate them. But really, I don't know yet. The law change, our customers in the Utica area, they have assured me, I have most of their cell phone numbers, that they will continue to patronize the store and, hey, how are you? And so we feel fortunate that we'll be able to continue.
Hello.
How
are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, everything's changed.
Everything has changed. That is Chad Acklin, one of the owners at Granvin Bottle Shop. We're joined in the studio by Mike Thornbrew of Quick Trip. Chad was telling me, Mike, that they are limited to 20%, the right amount of stuff that they can sell that's not an alcoholic beverage there. And if they hit that 20% mark in gross sales in a month, they got to stop selling everything that isn't alcohol. Do the convenience stores and supermarkets face a similar percentage cap on the amount of alcohol they can sell?
No, but how that came about is that was language that was kind of tossed about in Kansas and Colorado. And during the negotiations on it, that was one of the points where we would not sell liquor. Is if they would agree to a cap at 20%, we wouldn't sell spirits.
You wouldn't sell
hard liquor. So that's really how that came about.
Yeah.
Now, the offer was on the table. Let's just open it up for everybody and everything. And that didn't go very well with some of the folks that represented the Liquor Store Association.
What does Quick Trip anticipate will be their total percentage in strong beer and wine sales?
It won't reach the 20% at all.
Yeah.
For our experience in other states, typically the average convenience store does about 10% of their inside sales are beer and about 1% or 2% are wine.
Taking your questions and comments via open mic on the KRMG app.
Issues that matter to you. Expanded on the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour.
And joined in the studio by Mike Thornbrew from Quick Trip and my buddy Rick Corey, who just got off the phone with Jeff Reeser.
Yes, you know, he's got such enormous amount of stores. He's got such enormous amount of space. He's going to be a major player in this. So I asked him a bunch of things. How did you pick what you decided to carry? What have people been telling you to carry? Just tell me how this has gone.
It's a compliment already to what we sell. The consumer that likes wine is also a heavy produce consumer. So where do you go to get produce? Well, hopefully Reeser's. So those things were just all correlated together. You know, and when it's all said and done, you know, it's probably still on, even if we really have a hit a home run with the wine, we'll be really surprised if it's more than 2 or 3 to 5% of our business, which would be less than frozen food. But it complements everything else. We believe we'll sell more meat, produce, cheese, because we have wine now.
Because you're carrying those things, did you make some changes in those other departments, not just where it's moved and that kind of thing, but did you add cheeses and breads and things like that?
We had most of the items that we felt like we needed. But what did change is where you go in and there's maybe 60 foot of wine now, there was something else there before. We started having to pick up space all over the stores, and that meant we had to category manage some items out of our mix to pick up the space, so that when we moved everything around, we picked up space to put the wine in. So things have been moving for about 2 years, but hopefully we did them subtly enough that the consumer was not inconvenienced.
Everybody wants to know how you decided what to carry. What was that process like? Because everybody's got their favorite. Everybody's going to tell you, well, you know, you ought to carry this. You ought to carry this. You've heard a lot of that, I'm sure.
Yep. Part of that 2 year process was studying. Believe it or not, Tulsa really mirrors Dallas in a lot of ways. We're just, the population's just a little bit smaller. So anyway, what we've been doing, we've been monitoring not only what's been selling in the state, but we've been monitoring what was selling in the North Texas area. And so that's where a lot of our attention was put, and we understand. And so we're going to start with a pretty good base mix of items. A lot of people have been coming in. I'm surprised. I'm actually a little surprised. People have been coming in taking selfies next to their favorite wine and doing some things because they couldn't purchase, you know, up until this morning, which I'm in Tahlequah right now, and I've talked to a couple of folks here already. But, you know, there was it was just real interesting watching them come in and take a look at it and see what's there. So it's an interesting thing. It's going to be exciting, I think, for a lot of folks who have been looking for this for some time, and myself included.
Are you going to be carrying a lot of local stuff? I mean, talking about like the local beers, things like that?
Definitely on the local beer side. On the wine side, Oklahoma just is not in the you know, the right latitude, longitude, and soil content to really produce decent wines. Now, what we will carry over time, and kind of talk a little bit, I mean, kind of backdoor into this. We've started, and you know, for those of you with kids, and you watch the baby roll over, pull up, crawl, and walk. That's about where we are this morning. We're probably just at the pull up stage, if you want to relate it to kids. So we've got a little ways to go and some things we need to do and learn before we start walking, much less running.
So what do you think your dad would say this morning?
If he were around today, he'd probably say, well, good luck, guys. I'm headed to the golf course. But no, he would, you know, we're trying to stay ahead of the customer if you can. You know, he was always tells, well, what else can we sell? What else should we be selling? What goes with what we've got? And that's what led to video, photo, pharmacy, all some of the things we've had, and some have come and gone over time. I laugh because one time we were driving someplace and we were having this conversation, and we passed a place and actually turned back around and went back to look at it, and there was a sign that said barbecue and shoe repair. You know, he said, now that may be taken a little far. He said, but that's what we need to be thinking about. What's coming next for us?
Family of characters, aren't they?
Yeah, they were. Larry was a terrific guy. My family knew him, and I knew him when I was growing up in Tahlequah. It's right when Jeff called. He said, hey, I haven't talked to you forever. You know, we had a nice conversation. He did say they put 2 years of strong work into doing this, and I asked him the same thing we asked Mike Thornbrew a little earlier, which is how many thousands of people have told you what to carry? And he said, it's still happening, you know, daily. And the thing about people taking selfies with their favorite wine, that just blew me away. That's just funny. They couldn't buy it, so they wanted a picture of it, right? How is that orange juice?
So the boss,
yeah,
stopped at a Quick Trip on his way in.
Yep.
And for the first time, there was one other time in my 35 years in broadcasting that I actually drank alcohol on the air. We're drinking beer in the studio this week.
Well, by we, you mean you and him.
Okay, Rick's not.
No.
The rest of us are.
Yeah, this can have mine because I would get stupid. I'm just going to stay right here.
This is a Cabin Boys Brewery Castellane Kolsch.
He also brought a quick trip breakfast pizza.
You talked about it. Pairs perfectly with the breakfast pizza.
Nicely done.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All right. Mike Thornbrew is with us. We have more questions for him. We're taking your questions via the open mic on the KRMG app. And Russell Mills will take a closer look at how these new laws are affecting consumers of beer. Coming up on the KRMG Morning News.
We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now, back to the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
Inviting your questions via open mic on the KRMG app.
So I guess this means we can buy beer and wine on Sundays now.
Yes, that's exactly what it means.
My question is, do liquor stores now get to stay open 7 days a week, or are they still closed on Sundays?
So you can buy beer and wine on Sundays at convenience stores and supermarkets, but liquor stores right now have to close, but it's going to vary by county, right, Mike?
Yeah. What happened again on that is during the negotiations, the offer was on the table if the liquor stores wanted to be open on Sunday. At that time, they said no, but there is a provision in law for county option that if a liquor store, the people vote on it, they can be open on Sundays as well.
Oklahoma has allowed selling of wine and full-strength beer in its grocery stores and convenience stores. I hope the hospitals are ready for an increased number of traffic accidents and deaths due to this, starting pretty much today.
Yeah, a lot of people see it as a public safety question.
Yeah, I mean, our job hasn't changed. We've been selling beer for 60 years, and it's very simple. We make sure you're of age, you don't appear to be intoxicated, and we look out for what are called third-party sales. So our job of handling an age-sensitive item hasn't changed at all.
So what is the age limit for the mandatory license?
So if you have somebody who's working in your store who's 18, can they get a license to sell as well?
Yeah, it used to be 16, and then the law is raised from 16 to 18 to do it.
Last time Oklahoma changed its liquor laws in any substantial way, as we mentioned, was back in 1984 when voters approved liquor by the drink.
Our state's always had a contentious relationship with alcohol. Oklahoma was the last state in the union to repeal prohibition. Didn't happen until 1959, 26 years after the 21st Amendment was ratified. At the time, counties were allowed to permit the sale of Low Point beer, which legally was not considered an alcoholic beverage. It was regulated by the Oklahoma Tax Commission until midnight last night. Now it falls under the jurisdiction of the Alcoholic Beverage Laws Enforcement Commission, or ABLE. Stephen Barker is General Counsel and Deputy Director of ABLE.
What's happening with 3-2 beer is the legal distinction that 3-2 beer is something other than beer is going away. So our Constitution and our state statutes on October 1st will no longer recognize Low Point or 3-2 beer as anything separate and apart from beer.
So as of today, beer is beer in Oklahoma, and ABLE has its work cut out for it, Barker tells me.
It's quite an undertaking when you think about taking on an additional roughly 3,500 to 4,000 business outlets, and then all of their employees that need license, which we've estimated somewhere around 40 to 50,000 of those.
And many people have asked me, what happens to 3.2 beer?
I think it'll be pretty hard to come by. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably already pretty hard to come by.
Well, yeah, there's no real incentive for distributors to carry it here any longer. Four states do still have Low Point beer laws: Kansas, Colorado, Minnesota, and Utah. But Colorado goes to full-strength beer in January, Kansas in April. That leaves Minnesota and Utah. Oklahoma accounted for 50% of the 3.2 beer sold in the U.S., so major brewers have put Utah and Minnesota on notice. They may not be able to get it much longer. Hey, and let's not forget Oklahoma's wine drinkers. They'll now be able to purchase wine at grocery and convenience stores as well. Good news for them and for Oklahoma's growing wine industry. One item still on the agenda: Sunday sales.
Counties will have the ability after October 1 to vote countywide to allow liquor stores to sell on Sundays, but that hasn't happened yet. And then you've got convenience stores and grocery stores. Statewide, they sell 7 days a week. So the county doesn't need to do anything. That's just statewide.
One imagines the counties will start that process fairly soon. For the KRMG In-Depth Hour, I'm Russell Mills, News 102.3 KRMG.
Russell, thanks. 8:51, Dan Potter and Rick Corey with Mike Thornbrew from Quick Trip and taking your questions via open mic.
Do they get to stay open later at liquor stores or open earlier?
Right now, no. I mean, that's...
No, the answer is, yeah, they can.
Oh, they can.
I can't remember what time they can now open. That was part of the law change, and I believe they have the option to stay open until midnight. So that's in effect now.
That just... Wow.
I mean, didn't know that.
That just shocks me because, I mean, I think even in Texas, you got to cut off the hard liquor sales at 9. Wow.
It was what we call a trailer bill, I think, that was passed last year that did expanded hours for the liquor stores.
What's the thinking there? I mean, obviously, that raises all sorts of red flags, like the caller said, about, you know, people being able to get it at any time, get drunk at any time. Then again, not everybody works first shift. Some people are getting off work at midnight. Maybe they want a six-pack.
I think it was a little more than that. It didn't say shall, it said may. So if they want to, they can. And I think that some people were upset that they didn't have expanded hours. So it was a peace offering, if you will, to some of the liquor stores.
So what's next? And when is are taps coming or that kind of thing? What's happening next?
Well, you're seeing a lot of states do the growlers.
Can bring in your growler to a convenience store and fill it up?
Oh, absolutely. In a lot of states which we operate, you can. We don't currently offer that because we don't have the space, but it's out there.
Wow.
I think that's really the next step is the growlers. I would imagine that grocery stores and big boxes will probably have the opportunity to do that quicker than us. But who knows in the future if the option's there and the opportunity's there? We'll take a look at it.
You said growlers. I thought you meant somebody like somebody's wife who was in a bad mood. Get to bring. And you know what? There's a couple of things we said here in the last couple of minutes. So bring. Not everybody goes and buys a beer to get drunk. All right? Everybody's so worried about drunk drivers. And yes, you have to be concerned about that. But if you appreciate the flavor, the taste.
I am enjoying this Cabin Boys. Yeah. The Kroll, what is it? A Kolsch. Castelline. Kolsch. I'm enjoying the flavor, but I got to tell you, it's 4.8 alcohol by volume, and I've only drank half a can. I can feel it.
Can you?
Yeah, I can.
Well, it's a good thing this is almost over.
Yes, but it's also like 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's your 8 o'clock in the morning.
But you have a designated driver host.
You're such a lightweight over there.
Well, you know what? Empty stomach and...
Hey, half a can.
I thought you're doing fine drinking it. I thought when Glenn went to the IV, that was much.
That's a little bit much. And why did he take 2 bottles? I don't get that. Okay, so... Is there anything that you think we're missing here that we should know about this, Mike?
No, I mean, we really are excited. It's a long time coming. We always thought it was a foolish, obsolete law. And now that Oklahoma, for the first time ever, we led something in the nation being progressive. By Oklahoma passing it, you had Colorado, you had Kansas. Hmm. It's just a matter of time until Utah passes it.
And Minnesota as well.
And I don't understand Minnesota's law, so I have no idea what's going on up there. It seems a little peculiar to me that Minnesota doesn't have it by now, but I don't know.
But those two states, Utah and Minnesota, are going to be – there's not going to be any 3-2 beer for them to sell because the breweries aren't going to make it for just two states.
No, in fact, we're really worried about Kansas. We have operate a lot of stores in Wichita and the Kansas City area. And time you get to April 1, you think last week was bad for 3-2 beer. We really expect the worst.
They may be going months in Kansas.
It may be. It could happen.
Well, Mike, thanks for being
here. Thanks, guys.
It's
I really appreciate
it. Good to meet you face to face.
You as well. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.